this episode of Banner Health's Making the Rounds podcast, we will be discussing the surgical advancements in nerve treatment, outcomes, pain reduction, and quality of life. We'll also talk through some of the advantages your patients have if they're treated at a Banner Health facility. To learn more about these topics or other orthopedic-related offerings at Banner Health, please visit bannerhealth.com/orthopedics. Making the Rounds dives into medical topics with those who know them best, healthcare providers. My name is Bridget, and I'll be your host for today's episode. And if you're new to our podcast, thank you for tuning in. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. With me today is Dr. Joshua Husted, orthopedic surgeon with specialty training in hand, upper extremity, and peripheral nerve surgery, and assistant professor of orthopedics at University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix. Thank you, Dr. Husted, for joining me today, and welcome to Making the Rounds.
Thank you, Bridget. Happy to be here. Excited to talk about all we're doing in the peripheral nerve surgery space.
Well, we're excited to have you. So, Dr. Husted, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into orthopedic medicine.
I love orthopedic surgery because we have the opportunity to really affect our patients' lives and make people better. I love that people come to me with a defined problem, and there's often a defined solution, and we can get people back really quickly to their lives and what they enjoy doing. I'm a father of three kids. I'm a former athlete. I was a Stanford track and field athlete. I love being active. I love being outside with my kids, and I get that most people want to have that in their life too. So our goal and my goal as an orthopedic surgeon is to get people back to that function as quickly as they can.
Well, thank you for being here, and we're lucky here at Banner Health to have you. So I'm super excited for you to share with us today the groundbreaking advancements that you and your team have made over the past few years. And today we're discussing the advancements in nerve treatment, in particular, complex nerve treatment. Dr. Husted, can you share with our listeners some of the common conditions or injuries that cause nerve damage?
Yeah, it's common for people after an orthopedic injury, either being trauma or a weekend warrior, or even just with arthritic change, to have changes in their nerve function that really affects their lives. So you can have a pinched nerve, for instance, in your upper extremity coming from your neck or your elbow or your hand. And I often tell patients, it's kind of like you have a hose that's watering the lawn, you get a kink in the hose, the water shuts off, and the lawn dies. And that's what happens. We lose function from our nerves. And so we need to find out where those kinks are, how we can unkink them. And in addition to that, if we need to do other things like nerve transfers in order to bring function back for our patients. So we mostly see that in an aging population or in our young athletes as well after an injury. And they come in, we're able to evaluate that and get them back to their full function.
Historically, what has been the path of treatment for these patients?
So historically for nerve treatments, we've primarily done nerve decompression, which is standard of care for, say, carpal tunnel syndrome or cubital tunnel syndrome. But new treatments have come about where we are able to then do additional treatments like nerve transfers. So as we talked about before, I tell patients, you have this hose that's watering the lawn, you get a kink in the hose and the water shuts off and your lawn dies. We can unkink the hose and turn the hose back on, but we can also borrow the neighbor's hose and put it on the lawn. It's like splicing in a live wire, and we can do nerve transfers that have significantly improved function for patients. This has been really led by some surgeons around the country, and we're one of the first teams to bring this to the Valley and to provide this for all patients in the Phoenix metro area.
The advancements in peripheral nerve surgery that we'll be discussing today are denervation, targeted muscle reinnervation, otherwise known as TMR, and nerve transfer. Can you give us a brief description of the topics we'll be reviewing?
I think that is important. There are a lot of different options in peripheral nerve surgery. And so the one thing that we've discussed is denervation. Denervation is where we go in and we actually either cut or transfer the nerves away from the joint. That allows us to no longer feel the pain at the site of the joint itself. Targeted muscle reinnervation is slightly different in that we're cutting the nerve and we're transferring it to muscle. The primary indication for denervation is for joint pain, like knee arthritis or hand and wrist arthritis, whereas the primary indication for targeted muscle reinnervation is for lower or upper extremity amputees. Nerve transfers are slightly different in that we're taking a nerve and we're transferring it into another. The primary indication for that is somebody who has complex nerve issues already. So they either have weakness or numbness that hasn't been addressed and needs to be reconstructed.
Dr. Houston, let's start with denervation. Tell us what denervation is and how it's used to treat conditions affecting the hand, wrist, elbow, and the knee.
Yeah, denervation is a really exciting technique. It's been around for a while. It was initially popularized in Europe and then in the United States, but it hasn't really received full treatment and kind of full embrace by the medical community for a couple of different reasons we can chat about. But what denervation does is it actually, instead of going in and treating arthritis, like let's say you have knee arthritis, instead of doing a joint replacement, we're able to go in, identify the specific nerves themselves, and either cut those nerves, sweep them off the joint, or even transfer those nerves and change the function of the nerves. And the really exciting thing about this is it changes the way that your brain interacts with your joints. Normally, pain is transmitted from the joint and inflammation through the nerves to your brain, and you perceive pain. If we interrupt that pathway, either by sweeping nerves off the joint or transferring the nerves, your brain will actually change. And there are studies suggest that the neocortex actually changes in the brain. You change the perception of what you're feeling, and you no longer feel that pain. The benefit of that is you have a much quicker recovery. You don't have to go through a complex arthroplasty in some situations. And for patients who are at risk, older, sick, it provides a really simple and quick return to function. We've seen it really exciting studies that we've just published, both in the hand and the wrist and the knee, that I think is going to really change the way we practice in the future. So we have an article published in the Journal of Hand Surgery for what's called CMC or base of thumb pain, carpal metacarpal. And that's the pain at the base of the thumb, where we compared the arthroplasty to the denervation and showed equivalent outcomes at 1 year with return of function in 3.5 weeks for the denervation group versus 4.5 months for the arthroplasty group at half the cost for the denervation. We also are publishing right now in Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery Journal, one of our top plastic surgery journals, the knee denervation work, which has shown long-term benefit in patients who are not candidates for total knee arthroplasty.
When you're discussing identifying those nerves, what type of modalities, what type of diagnostic tools do you use to identify what nerve is causing that pain?
So there's been a lot of work on the back end that's gone into anatomical studies to identify which nerves would be good targets for this. A lot of this was done by a famous plastic surgeon in the United States named Lee Dellen, and he's kind of laid the groundwork for this. And so we've taken the work that Dr. Dellen has done and we've built upon it in additional clinical studies. So let's say you came in and you had pain in your knee. Either you already had a total knee replacement and you're having pain in your knee, or you came in and you didn't feel like you were a good candidate for a total knee arthroplasty, we would then use lidocaine to specifically block these individual nerves. And we can do that in the clinic, and it's like a test. You come in, we block it. The lidocaine lasts for 6 to 8 hours, like you went to the dentist. And I tell my patients, go do whatever it is that you feel like you couldn't do before, and let's see if you can do it. And if this is a solution for you, we can then go back and do the denervation procedure to make that, what we're mimicking in the block, a permanent reality.
The second advancement in nerve therapy treatment is targeted muscle reinnervation, TMR. Dr. Houston, can you explain what TMR is and the patient population that will benefit from this treatment?
So yeah, targeted muscle reinnervation has a really interesting history. It was first made at Northwestern University for patients who were complex amputees, primarily in the military. And so the thought process was, if a nerve gets cut, we used to think that the nerves, they just die, they never regenerate. But that's not true. Our body is constantly trying to make the nerve find another nerve ending. And so what happens is, as the nerve reaches out and tries to find other nerves around it, it creates a neuroma on the end, and it becomes this very painful ball of tissue at the end where the nerve was cut. In addition to that, people have always felt their pain in their limb their entire lives, and so their brain is mapped to feel the pain in that area. So when they lose an extremity, they get what's called phantom limb pain, and they can actually feel that the limb is there even though it's not there anymore. So the team at Northwestern thought, well, what happens if when we cut a nerve, instead of leaving that nerve, we find another nerve that goes to the muscle? We also cut the muscle nerve and we sew those two together. Now, instead of just having a cut nerve at the end where we would have had before, we allow the nerve to grow down and into the muscle. And what they were able to do was they were able to do this and then have somebody think, flex your hand, extend your wrist. And they did a surface evaluation of where the muscles were functioning, and they created a myoelectric prosthesis so that people can actually control a hand just by thinking, flex and extend your fingers. But that wasn't just it. The benefit really came in that they found that these patients had significant reductions in their neuroma pain and their phantom limb pain because the nerves now had something to do. And so again, it changed that neocortex in the brain so that the patients didn't feel the phantom limb anymore. And once they started noticing that, we started pushing the indications for TMR away from just this electric prosthesis to all patients with amputees. Most patients that are going to benefit from this are below knee amputation patients or lower extremity amputation. It's a lot more common in the United States. And patients that suffer from vascular issues and other lower extremity issues.
When you talk about denervation and target muscle reinnervation, like these two differ completely from surgical interventions for these conditions, and you're sharing some of those advantages. Tell me a little bit more about some of those surgical outcomes, because this is a minimally invasive procedure. Is that correct?
Yeah. And so, you know, let's take CMC arthritis, base of the thumb arthritis, really great example. Our classic treatment for that was primarily either activity modification and injections, corticosteroid injections, or complex reconstruction. There wasn't an in-between option. And the benefit of denervation now is it hits this in-between, right? It's a longer acting form of pain relief than an injection, but a much quicker recovery than a full arthroplasty. And so it kind of hits that middle sweet spot. Sometimes it's uncomfortable for us to talk about end of life, but if we're looking at a 75-year-old female who has debilitating hand and wrist pain, they may only have 10 years left in their life. You're asking now for 6 to 9 months of a complex reconstruction for them to have recovery after an arthroplasty procedure. That might be 5% of the remaining portion of their life, and maybe the best 5%. So maybe that patient is better treated with a denervation procedure where they only have to recover for 3 to 4 weeks and they're good to go. And they have significant equivalent pain control. Now, what we're trying to figure out now is what is the long-term benefit of denervation, right? We've been doing arthroplasty cases for 15 to 20 years. We are now just starting this work. So if you're looking at a potential downside of this, it might be that there might not be 15 to 20 year outcomes of this. But for a majority of the people that are qualifying for this, you know, this is a major issue in their kind of end of life period, and it can provide significant reduction in their overall pain. We have published 2 studies so far. We have one of the largest studies ever performed in CMC denervation, so base of thumb pain, published in the Journal of Hand Surgery, where we examined patients up to 1 year, and we compared patients at 1 year between arthroplasty and denervation. We also have one of the largest and one of the only studies to look at patients who are non-arthroplasty candidates in the knee, so they don't qualify for a total knee, either because they're too old, they're too sick, their BMI is too high, or their surgeon just felt that the risk was too high. We took those patients who were already at major risk and we performed a denervation procedure on them and showed significant reduction in pain, more than 50% reduction in their pain. So both of these indications can be really helpful for patients who are either looking for an alternative, don't qualify for a traditional procedure, or just want to have a quicker recovery.
When we look at targeted muscle innervation and the procedure of denervation, is there still an area of opportunity where, okay, at some point this patient may need an arthroplasty, or does that not come into play yet?
Yeah, I mean, one of the benefits is that you don't burn any bridges, right? So let's say you do a denervation procedure and it doesn't work. You can still do cortisone injections. You can still do a arthroplasty. You can still do all of the things that you would have considered before. You just have this option. And that's what I tell people. I think that people get really focused on what they've done, either what their doctors told them or what they, as a physician, what they were trained to do. And I just tell people, this is another tool in the toolbox. This doesn't necessarily replace arthroplasty. This doesn't change what we're what our indications are for total knee arthroplasty, but it allows us to have another tool to be able to use for specific indications. So to your previous point, you know, denervation and targeted muscle reinnervation are both things that we do to the nerve. It's a spectrum of how we intervene. And so the real field where we're pushing things is in peripheral nerve surgery in general. And it's what can we do to the nerves to interact with the pain cycle coming from the joint and going to the brain. The current techniques that we have are cutting edge, and they are amazing, and they have the opportunity to really change people's lives. But they might not be the only thing we do, and it might not be the perfect thing that we do. We're continuing to innovate in the field, and that's what's really exciting about it.
Tell us a little bit more about nerve transfer surgery, and how does that differ from the traditional nerve repair procedures?
Yeah, so traditionally, let's say you had a complex upper extremity issue. You cut your nerve, you got cut at the elbow, and we cut your ulnar nerve, and your hand doesn't work anymore. Traditionally, what we would have done for that patient is repair the nerve where it was cut and then see what kind of function they got back. Usually they had some kind of deficit. And then what we would do is we would do tendon transfers, which is where we take an actual tendon that's functioning in the hand that has a synergistic function, and we transfer it to the tendons who are not working anymore, and we're able to address the deficit in a patient's hand. That was the traditional approach. But then there were people that started to think, well, why can't we just take a portion of one of our functioning nerves and transfer it and sew it in to the nerve that's affected? So not only now are we repairing the nerve, we're also bringing in additional function. So it's like splicing in a live wire. Let's take the live wire, let's splice it out, let's put it in, let's see what happens. And it turns out that the function that we can get from those nerve transfers is even better than the function we can get from tendon transfers. So a really amazing surgeon, Jaime Bertelli from Brazil, who noticed that this was an issue in his community. He's actually a neurosurgeon. He's not even a plastic surgeon or an orthopedic surgeon, which we traditionally in the United States, you'd think of that. But he noticed that this was an issue in his community, and he set out to solve this. And he's done a whole myriad of studies examining this, looking specifically at tendon transfers versus nerve transfers. So they've taken patients who have these injuries and they've randomized them, some into our traditional approach in tendon transfer, some into the new approach of nerve transfer, and they showed significantly increased benefits of the nerve transfer group. It doesn't mean that we don't use tendon transfers. We still use them and they're very helpful, but nerve transfers have become the first step in the reconstructive ladder for us. The thing about nerve transfers is that we need to get to them rather soon. So if, let's say if you have an injury and you had a nerve injury that needs to be reconstructed, we would give you between 3 to 6 months to see how much recovery comes back. Then after 3 to 6 months, we would consider a nerve transfer up until about 18 months. After 18 months, the end motor plates at the actual muscle interface, they start to die. And so even if we reinnervate the nerves, the signal won't get down to the muscle. So we got to hit that window. And so what we traditionally do now is evaluate, see how people are doing, give them a window to recover. If they don't recover, we'll do a nerve transfer. And depending on how much function they get back, then we'll consider secondary tendon transfers, which was more a traditional approach, to add another layer of reconstruction. So again, it's not like we're totally changing the way that we're doing things. We're adding to our current toolbox a lot of really important tools that orthopedic surgeons, plastic surgeons, pain management providers, and primary care physicians need to know about so that they can offer these options to their patients.
When you talk about primary care specialists, the referring community, tell me a little bit about what type of patient would they see in their clinic to identify, all right, this is a patient, this is a candidate that I would send to Dr. Houston and their team.
So first of all, any patient with complex upper extremity or lower extremity nerve symptoms. So primarily, you're going to see that with numbness or loss of function. If you see that somebody has weakness, numbness, or not normal, either walking or using their upper extremities, those are great patients to send to us. We are building a complex center for peripheral nerve surgery to deal with these things as a team at Banner Health. So we have experts in all areas of the field, neurosurgery, orthopedic surgery, plastic surgery, pain management, all of these things to address this. So those are really great candidates. Second, patients who have amputations, who either have phantom limb pain or they have neuroma pain, could be really great candidates for a reconstruction with a targeted muscle reinnervation. And then lastly, but probably the largest portion of patients, are patients who have complex pain or arthritic pain that would like to try a more minimally invasive approach than a traditional arthroplasty or reconstruction. In the hand and wrist, this is first-line treatment for arthritis, including base of thumb, in the fingers, and in the wrist itself. In the knee, we usually use this for non-arthroplasty candidates who are not total knee candidates, or for patients who have already had a total knee and are still having pain and need to have it continued to be addressed.
For patients that are considering one of these treatment options, what should they expect in terms of the preoperative evaluation and the postoperative recovery process? And can you discuss some of that rehabilitation for those patients that undergo these procedures?
Yeah, this was really exciting because it really is a difference in the rehab protocol. So let's take denervation, for instance. Carpal metacarpal or base of thumb denervation. When we do this, we have no restrictions after this procedure. You come in, you get the procedure done, you get stitches, and we tell you, treat it like you would a cut in the kitchen. You can go back and do whatever you want. Stitches come out at 2 weeks. We expect you to be golfing at 4 weeks. They're just returning to activity. And in that time, they're able to do whatever they want. If we were to do a complex reconstruction or a CMC arthroplasty, even with our new technology, we use some of the newest technology for that procedure too, for patients who do need it, you would be in a splint for 2 weeks initially, and then you'd start hand therapy. You'd remain in a splint for the first 6 weeks, and you'd be better somewhere between 4 to 6 months, depending on how quick you recover. But the recovery is completely different between these procedures.
At Banner Sports Medicine, we have a recovery team here on site as well. You know, you as the practicing physician, when you see your patient, you do the surgery and the outpatient physical therapy, all of that is in one house, right?
Exactly. You can't see it because we're on a podcast, but we are sitting in the conference room at Banner Sports Medicine Scottsdale, a brand new state-of-the-art facility. And what we have here is a high-performance center, a dedicated hand therapist, a dedicated physical therapist on our first floor, along with imaging, all of our clinics on the second floor, where it's not just me, but all specialists in orthopedic surgery and sports medicine. And then we have all of our operating rooms on the third floor. It's a one-stop shop for hopefully the best care in Arizona.
Dr. Husted, these are new procedures. These are new advancements in medicine. With certain procedures, you have to go through steps, right? Are there any prior steps that the patient has to go through before they get into one of these interventions?
I mean, one of the real benefits of coming to see us as a team is it's not just me. I might be the face of the team, but it's an entire team that's supporting my practice and the practice of the other surgeons here. So we have primary care sports medicine specialists who see and evaluate patients and provide non-operative management options before they're referred to us as orthopedic surgeons. And then there's a whole cadre of athletic trainers and therapists, all of which are designed to provide holistic care. Now, the care that we're talking about today is very specialized. So some patients that come to see me will be asked to participate in clinical trials. They will be offered the newest and the most cutting edge procedures. When we do that, we always talk to patients beforehand, try to be very honest about what the benefits and what the risks are in participating in clinical trials. And then we obtain consent from patients to participate in these trials, all under the umbrella of the University of Arizona, where we work very closely to provide cutting edge and care changing research studies. I just would want to say to patients, it is a complex and a changing world in orthopedics, and I get that. And I know that living with pain is really difficult. If you're living with pain, if you're having trouble, if things aren't going well, please come find us and let us see if we can help.
Dr. Husted, I can't thank you enough for you and your team for implementing and practicing these amazing advancements in surgical nerve treatment. Are there any other exciting research developments that are in the future?
Yeah, you know, peripheral nerve surgery, I think, is a whole host of things that are going to change. We're going to see a rapid evolution in the way that we practice, but it's not just in peripheral nerve surgery. It's wonderful to be part of a team at the university that's a holistic approach to patient care. You know, traditionally as orthopedic surgeons, in the medical community, we get teased a little bit because we think there's an X-ray, it's broke, and we fix it. And that's true. And there's a large part of us fixing broken bones. But what we're trying to understand now is how do we holistically treat a patient? So some of the studies that we're working on right now is how do we come up with better patient-reported outcome measures? How do we ask patients how they're doing after surgery? How do we know if somebody had a successful orthopedic surgery? Which patient-reported outcome measures should we be using? How do we compare these patient-reported outcome measures? And how does this affect overall treatment? In addition to that, we have an amazing group of students and residents who work on health policy research. So we have a big study coming out soon on an evaluation of indications in age and distal radius fractures. And we use a large team of biostatisticians that do large aggregate studies where we look at a meta-analysis and meta-regression to be able to provide better care. And the really exciting thing is that we're trying to build a world-class team of orthopedics here. And that's the goal. There's been huge investment from Banner Health itself, both in the physicians as well as the facilities, and a huge partnership with the University of Arizona to bring in world-class researchers. And so I love practicing here because anything's a phone call away. I can come here on Monday and have state-of-the-art facilities to operate in. And then on Tuesday, I can go downtown and have a meeting with biostatisticians and figure out how to change policy in distal radius fractures and everywhere in between.
That's amazing. We are definitely lucky to have that multidisciplinary team and access to those resources. Thank you, Dr. Husted. We appreciate you being here and being a guest on Making the Rounds. And we look forward to what the future holds in orthopedic medicine and with you here at Banner Sports Medicine.
Thanks, Bridget. It's great being with you.
Thank you. To learn more about Dr. Husted and the orthopedic services available at Banner Health, please visit bannerhealth.com/orthopedics. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Making the Rounds.